Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10. Deep is tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got passing it. 22 to Raja.
It's all the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. We are back. Back in business, baby. After a little flu bug was going around, kind of caught everybody on the show. We were off on Monday. We had to call in sick. But we don't have any flu Darvishes in it. Do you hear about you, Darvish?
No.
So,
yes.
Pitcher for the Cubs. 10-day DL for the flu.
Really?
Yeah, we should go on 10-day DL, really. Get some rest.
That would be so great.
We're going to power through.
He was looking pretty chipper earlier that day.
Exactly. He was, like, totally fine.
And then $130 million.
Yeah, I think it also has something to do with he's been awful for the Cubs in his start so far.
Darvish.
I think that had something to do with it, too. Yeah, Chicago newspapers are having a field day with that. We're going to do a ton of NBA as it looks like the conference finals are about to be set. There's also a couple more spots to be finalized. We'll do some story time with Raja. Oh. I can't wait to hear some old school stories from the playoffs. And we're going to do a lot of topics as usual. But first off, we have to address the elephant in the room, because on Monday was the Met Gala. Tom Brady goes out there. He stole my look. He stole my turtleneck look.
He
did get you for your turtleneck.
You do not want that to be your look.
I thought he looked damn good. He looked good.
I think there are two things that we have to talk about. One would be the actual outfit.
Yeah, it's awful.
Right? That is a look in and of itself. But then the look, the facial expression with which he was like captured that moment.
I was blowing up y'all's phones because I could not believe Tom Brady. I was like, y'all. Okay, first of all, in his defense, he can really wear whatever he wants if he has Giselle next to him, because nobody's actually looking at him. Nobody cares. She's just so good looking that it doesn't matter. He could wear like a purple suit next to her. And he would look
But people obviously do care.
Right, because he was trending all over Twitter.
Well, he just looked like an absolute jabroni.
Why? I thought he looked fine.
No.
All because of what? The turtleneck or the Versace jacket? Which one was it? Because it was just black.
I need him to be a little bit more like just like naturally sexy. Like he was just, I felt like he was doing the most to try to be as hot as his wife.
Idiots that were there.
No, like, Michael B. Jordan looked so good.
Nothing, no embroider, no nothing.
He had like a little belt. He had like a waist belt that was cool. No, he did. He had like a waist belt and it was cool.
Tom Brady had a little bit of embroidery on.
I need him to look a little more natural in the photo, though.
He looks
like he
reminds me of
not just the face, but look at the hand.
Yeah.
Like very, very
that's
like,
what
you I don't know what to do.
Was?
You ever
see?
He needs that like,
supposed to be.
That's right.
He needs that like natural, like boy next door sex appeal to go along with his wife.
He doesn't have it.
He had way too much bronzer on. I don't know if you noticed that, but he definitely had some tanning
bronzer
on. Yeah, he had a little fake.
Looks like Ricky Bobby where he didn't know what to do.
Did y'all see anyone else from the Met Gala? Just so we get 5 seconds.
Cam Newton.
What?
Did you see Cam Newton's get up?
Google this.
So Cam Newton looked like he did not get the memo about, you know, trying to fall in line with the costume. Like,
the theme was
Catholicism and art or something like, right?
Catholic
church.
Yeah, it was Sunday best.
Which I don't know how, like, I guess Rihanna dressed as the Pope.
Oh, I don't like it.
No, because he wore a hat and looked like he got pigeon poop.
I don't like what Cam Newton wore.
No, it was like, it's just, it looks like everything he
wears.
Dude,
what is he trying to be, Pharrell? Like, I hate that.
He totally does. He stole the hats. He's trying to do.
Goodness gracious.
And it has, like,
and the goggles?
It has bird poop on the side. Yeah, Cam Newton is a peacock. He just will wear anything that says "Look at me." All right, let's dive into the NBA because the Western Conference Finals are set as expected. Even though all the drama throughout the season, maybe you know what team could come to you know possibly knock them off. Utah, anybody else? Pelicans. It was the Rockets Warriors. It's going to be that. The expectations are it's going to be a fun series. I think it's a wrap.
Yeah,
I think the Warriors are going to take them in six. I think it'll be entertaining. But I think the Warriors just have too much firepower.
I mean, six is a good series, though.
Right.
You know, I've said before that I think Houston has
You've
the
been
weapons.
On them early.
Yeah, I think they have the style and the weapons that, if they're playing well, they could be a threat and beat Golden State. If I'm being 100% honest, though, what I've seen from them through the Utah series specifically. Isn't them firing on all cylinders. It's not. I mean, they've been okay. They've done enough to win games. But they've come out and they've looked lethargic at points. They haven't looked like they were all the way dialed in. You know, I'll reference game two when they got smacked. Not only that, but they get these really big leads and then they kind of fall asleep at the wheel. These are all things. And lastly, the offense has been good, but it's really been their defense that's kind of been carrying them through the playoffs. They've been very good defensively. Offensively, I just don't feel like they're firing on all cylinders. And that's not good enough to beat Golden State. So for me, the jury's kind of out. Like, I really feel like this series, more than a lot, game one is like ultra, ultra important. If they give up game one to Golden State at home, they fought for home court advantage, and Golden State comes in there and puts one on the board early, it's going to be catastrophic for Houston. They have to get out to a good start. And maybe, quite frankly, you know, a team that hasn't really been there and done that was looking past everybody else in expectation and anticipation of this moment. But it's not a very good excuse. So I'm worried about them. I think Golden State, if you look at Golden State across the board, like, they have higher end talent. Mm-hmm. Like, when you talk about KD, Clay, Steph, and Draymond, like, there's higher end talent. Although Houston, I believe, does have very good depth as well. I think there's higher end talent. And you can't deny the fact that Golden State has people who are way more experienced in this scenario, in these moments, than Houston does. And so I'm really worried for Houston, if I'm being honest right now.
Yeah. So there was some positive takeaways.
Yeah.
James Harden was feeling a little under the weather, probably much like we are. Chris Paul.
Is that was confirmed? That was like he was not feeling great last night?
I saw that after the game. I saw
last
some,
night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's
when Chris Paul had his 41.
That's some kind of explanation. All right.
Because Chris Paul said he's going to put the team on the back and was like, all right, I'm going to get this there.
So, all right.
Excuse me. I think it was a good sign for them to have somebody else step up, especially certainly CP3, who's had his playoff struggles. He kind of gets past that hurdle, finally gets to a conference finals.
Yep.
So I think that's a good thing for them. I think it's probably good for them that they haven't clicked fully, like you're talking about. Like, they still. And hopefully this is Mike D'Antoni is telling them, hey, we still have more left. Like, we can still get better. The problem is they're running into this juggernaut that the Warriors are getting better too.
Right.
Steph Curry's looking healthy. Now he has even more time to rest and recoup to get back to full speed before this series starts. And they also have debuted the Hamptons Five. Now, were you aware of this?
Are you going with that?
I guess we have to. I don't know. Although I should.
What do you mean we have
Kerr.
To? You don't have to.
No. So it's the death lineup, right?
They
did not do it in the regular season against Houston. They just debuted it this last series and
started for the first time together in Game 4.
Right. So they've only done it a couple games. Is this going to matter? Like, is it something that is that different to defend if you're Houston? Like, if you don't have that much film on it, if you can't...
No.
It's not.
I mean, it changes their dynamic and what they're able to do offensively. Having that type of, you know, talent and versatility on the floor, especially on the defensive end of the court. I mean, you basically switch everything except for Steph. It makes you really, really versatile defensively. But, you know, it's not going to be something that catches Houston by surprise. Like, there's enough probably tape of the Hampton Five being on the court together where it's not going to be some kind of new wrinkle that's going to catch them off guard. It's really remarkable to me. Like, those are the two best offensive efficiency teams in the NBA this year. Like really, really close. Like, what is it, 112.24 per 100 possessions for Houston, I think, and 112.25 points per 100 possessions for Golden State. I mean, you couldn't get any closer. And they do it in two really different ways. And that, I think, you know, Golden State, they got a lot of great players, but they're on record as saying, and I read over the weekend, that if they feel like if they can outpass a team, they'll beat them. They want the ball to move. They want to pass. They want to get people opportunities like that. And Houston's way more, although they pass the ball, it's way more ISO. It's way more high ball screen. You know, like, Mike's simplified it to the point, got two of the best pick-and-roll players in the NBA. We're just going to play pick-and-roll. And we're going to run Clint Capella to the rim, and you pick your poison, and we'll try to, you know, we'll eat off of whatever you do. So they do it really different. It's going to be really interesting to see which one of those styles, if any, can really hit their stride in the playoffs.
So before
or in that series, sorry.
Before the Warriors, it was before the clinching game. It was before Game 5, right? It was before Game 4 when Draymond sent out the text. So he sent out the text to Kevin Durant. At 4 a.m., he said it bothered him. He said he was up all night.
Yeah, he said he was watching tape all night.
Yeah. I don't know if I believe that or not. But he said Draymond's quote was, I just challenged him to be who he is. I had to tell him. I didn't see him attacking or being aggressive enough on both ends of the floor. Like, we need him to be. You know, I don't hold back. When I see something's wrong, I have to voice my opinion. There were no hard feelings. We're just trying to win a ball game. Was the 4 a.m. text the difference in the series, Raja?
I'm on record as saying this 4 a.m. text was the difference in nothing.
Thank you.
No,
this
bro.
This is something I think the media eats up. Like, you can spoon feed to the media, and they just like, give me more.
They love
give
it.
Me more.
Correct.
They love it.
Correct.
And but, I think Draymond knows that to some extent.
Yo, no, Draymond's very savvy with the media.
I'm the problem.
You loved it?
I'm the problem.
Like, that's so cool.
I thought it was a cool story. Is that dumb?
I think it's overrated that people actually believe that's how Durant scored 38.
Right, and it's overrated in the fact that people don't think that happens like all the time.
Right,
like, and I maybe not at 4 a.m, but you're brothers. Right, you know, like if I see you, you know, Danny, like, you know, deferring a little bit for one reason or another, like it's not a novel thing for me to be like, hey man, hey look, just relax, just go out there and do your thing, bro. We all trust, you know, that's right. What you do. In a tight knit group of guys like that, so I think it's pretty cool that they got that relationship. I think it's great that that KD and Draymond and Steph and all of them can you know have those lines of communication. But the idea that other people don't do that is silly.
Right. I thought it was the least surprising story that I'd heard too, because right. Draymond is clearly their emotional leader.
Sure.
He's clearly the guy that would step up and say, "Hey man, let's go. We need you. Like right. You're our guy. Like you need to like." Right. And I don't think it. Like he said, I had to, you know, call him out and tell him it's just he's just trying to kick him in the butt, like give him a little encouragement.
Yeah, it wasn't, hey, bro, you're sucking right now. Like when right. You know, it's look, when you're the emotional leader, it takes on a lot of different forms.
Yeah,
and you give people what they need if you can, and that's what that was.
All right,
so were you the emotional leader?
At times, but at you know, I watched other guys be the emotional leader, and it didn't always mean like yelling and screaming.
Right,
like, it took right. different shapes and different forms.
All right, somebody for the Toronto Raptors should have sent around a 4 a.m. text because they could have used it as the Cavs finished them off. They sweep the series. It was ugly. I thought they threw it in the tank the last two games when they went to Cleveland. The Cavs. Moving forward,
yeah,
like they're going to be Boston or Philly. I mean, it looks like they're going to play Boston. You think Boston's going to be a problem?
No, the Cavs are going to be a problem.
Yeah,
for
I think they're going to advance. I think it's a wrap again. I think it's going to be Warriors over Cavs. I don't think they have enough. Do you think there's anything? Excuse me, to Debo over there who's looking at me like it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
It isn't over yet.
That series could be interesting. I told Debo on the way, and I asked him, and he said he felt like they had a chance. And I asked him if it was his inner fan talking or if this was, and. I do. There's a part of me that feels like, and I know, has 0-3 ever been done? It's never been done, right?
No.
And so,
like 0-139.
Like, I get it. It's not gonna happen. But there's a part of me that feels like if it were to happen, this could be the one. I know I've disrespected Boston over and over again, and I've apologized, and I will apologize in advance for this. But this series could be like dramatically different. Like they gave up a 22-point lead in a game. They had the ball tie game with what, 8 seconds to go. Like they're, and I get, you can say that about any series. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like that's why they're down, you know, 1-3 because they didn't make those plays. So it is what it is. But there's just part of me that feels like it's been a lot closer than that 3-1 indicates. And if they can go out there and handle business in game 5, I think you're going to see a Boston Celtics lineup that really tightens up for game 6.
Right.
And Philly comes home. And I think, again, I talk about the complexion of a series changing from like game to game. It will swing so fast on Boston, they won't know what hit them if they mess around and let the Sixers come in there in game 6, and I mean game 5, and get a win.
I think it's the best, and it's not a good place to be from all the time, but I think it's really easy to play when there's nothing to lose. And you could say that like, well, yeah, you can lose a series. But yeah, you're supposed to now. Like you're down. Nobody's done it before.
Right.
So if you're Brett Brown, you send your guys out there and you say, hey, nobody believes in you. Nobody thinks you can do it. So why not just go out there and just play free?
Unless you're playing a team like the Cavs and you're Toronto that's beaten you before though.
Right.
Right. No, because then you might pack it in. Like
but
I agree with you.
Right.
Like, you go out there.
I mean, one of my best games was the 31-3 was the comeback.
Yeah.
Choke it doke. And my mindset that game was all, it wasn't, we're going to come back. It was, it can't get any worse. Like, what happens? So what? If I throw an interception, right. It doesn't matter.
Let
We're just
going
to get blown out. So you play with a freedom that I don't think you all see all the time. You also play with TJ McConnell. He was the different thing. It was funny because I was watching him play, and I'm like, this guy is just playing with a different intensity level and a different speed than everybody else, and Philly fed off of him.
They did. He's a really good player, and he's one of those guys that you root for, at least I do, because he's kind of defied odds. Like, you know, when he came out, I don't even know if he was drafted. I don't know his whole backstory, but he was at Arizona, right? Like, and he was solid, but never really given the, you know, the type of credit that he probably deserved there. And he just grinds, and he's tough, and he plays, and it never really looks pretty. Like the jumper's not pretty, but he knocks it down now, and he makes winning plays, and so that's all great, and the story's fantastic. And that moment, you know, I've lived that moment. That's a super cool moment.
Yeah.
But make no mistakes, like TJ McConnell's not gonna, he's not gonna be the reason they win if they win in Boston, and so. He could be a part of the reason you win, but it's not going to be to that degree. So they need Joel Embiid to do what Joel Embiid does. They need Dario Saric again. They're going to need to figure out, you know, how you get some productivity from that 3-point line. You have to have, why am I drawing a blank on the kid's name? So you got Marco Bellinelli, Redick, and who's the other kid that starts
Ilya
for them?
Sova, or
no,
Covington.
Ilya Sova and Robert
Covington. Covington out of the starting lineup.
Okay, but you've got to get a marginal amount of production, average amount of threes made from those guys. And then you have to figure out how you can get Ben Simmons. That's been really weird for me to see, you know, the, them putting a you know, it's been really weird. And credit to Brad Stevens for the defensive adjustments, but it's been really weird to see him struggle like that. And I got one question, and I know we weren't going here with the pod, but I listened the other day, and why doesn't Markel Fultz play ever?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Have they said anything about
decision.
That?
I don't think
has anyone
really
addressed
good.
It?
I was wondering that too. Like, why not even at the end of a game?
But that right. Like, maybe you don't trust him to know what you're doing or right. the play calls or the assignments because he wasn't there all year. But when the games are over,
these are valuable
I don't
minutes.
Think
and
they
you're
want.
Struggling to score because of what Boston's doing to you. Like, you wouldn't drop him in there real
you're
quick.
You're saying
just
right. garbage time or when it's actually like
dude.
Still
no, dude. I'm saying look if you were to tell time. Me, I would lobby for garbage time. Yeah. But especially when the series is saying to me like we're challenged to score because we're big, we don't have a lot of shooting, like we need playmakers out there. Well, once that game it doesn't hang in the balance anymore, I certainly want to see if Markel can go in there and if he can work Jason Tatum. Like yeah. I just need to know if I got pieces over there that can work somebody on Boston because you know like that's what you're looking for.
What if you know the answer
forward.
Is no right now?
I don't think they want to mess with his head.
Yeah, is it that fragile? That could be the answer.
It's just
it could be the answer.
They're tossing this season, throwing this season away.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, he's, yeah.
But I mean, Brett Brown used these valuable playoff experience
yeah, dude,
minutes.
I don't understand.
He limited his rotation to just 8 players, played only 8 guys. So he's not going to get those valuable minutes. And I think, honestly, the Sixers don't feel like any lead is safe because of that 22-point blown lead in game 2.
Right.
Just
well,
don't
for
even
instance,
mess with it.
For instance.
Two minutes could be valuable.
Game 6, 2001, right? We were in Milwaukee. I have not played in the playoffs, I don't think. I mean, I might have checked in for like a second here or there in the playoffs, but we're getting blown out by the Bucks at Milwaukee. And Larry Brown, like, he saw that we were struggling. We could not guard Ray Allen and Big Dog and Sam Cassell. Like, that trio was just eating us alive. And so, you know, he was like, look, go in there. He threw our lineup of young guys in. And I could only imagine, because I didn't ask him this, that it was an effort to see if anybody – on his roster had an answer for something on that team that he wasn't getting from his starters.
Right.
And we played really well. And now we got back in the game and he wound up pulling us to put the starters back in and they quite frankly gave the lead away again. But he saw something in me for one reason or another that gave him faith enough to play me in game 7. And I had the effect in game 7 that TJ McConnell had in game 4. And so I'm saying, like, in those moments when you have nothing to lose,
right.
why not throw the kid out there or any other kid on their bench to see if they have a little something that could be, you know, a problematic for Boston? That's my question.
Twitter comparisons know. The other day, Rajah Bell and TJ McConnell.
Oh,
no
word.
Way. Is he really?
For your,
love it.
Your 10 point
my
second
10?
Quarter.
Yeah.
Nice.
Made my childhood.
Oh, that's what's
that's awesome.
That's so great.
All right. So there was something that went down that I did not love.
All right.
From your boy Joel Embiid.
Stop.
Dude,
stop.
You're down 3-0. Stop. I get it. You're winning a game.
Yeah, stop.
But I love the Marcus Morris, and that's the perfect way to shut him up because he kept giving the 3-0, you know, hand signal,
yeah.
3-0. Like, why don't you shut your yapper? Joel Embiid, I think some of the shine is starting to wear off on the playfulness, the social media stuff, I think it's getting a little bit, it's wearing out on you.
I will
it's
say.
Wearing out on me. Like, I'm like, enough already.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't understand the history will be retweeted. Is it just because of all of his attention on social media? Like, what was behind that?
He's a social media star. History will be repeated. History
right,
will be retweeted.
Right, I know retweeted. The repeated and retweeted
but listen,
thing, but
you
I
haven't
just
done
didn't
anything
get
yet.
Dude, yeah, you can't talk stuff when you're in a hole 0-3. Like, put your head down, go to work, put a game in your pocket. And come back to work the next day knowing that you got to put another game in your
right.
pocket. That's not
the
time. When the
series is over
then you
and
got,
you came back, then you can talk
correct.
All the trash you want.
Agreed.
It is equivalent to me because I can't stand when this happens. When you're watching a football game and it's 31-10 and there's a, you know, a late touchdown
yeah.
and it's the losing team and it has no impact on the game and the receiver like dances in the end zone.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. Like
yeah.
that is not the time. Like you have
or,
to have situational
or the,
awareness.
Or the one that gets me in football, it's the same exact thing except your team's losing, you catch a 15-yard reception or rip off a 15-yard run for a first down and you give us the first down
right,
sign.
Right,
you're like,
right.
all right, good,
yeah,
thanks.
Exactly, thanks for letting us know that. All right, there was something else that happened
yeah.
that bothered me. And this was in the Cavs-Raptors game. Okay. Now, this was from the winning team.
Yep.
Now, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, hey, the Cavs, they rolled through the Raptors. Everybody should be great. LeBron's saying, I never doubted my teammates. Everything's great.
Yeah.
Rodney Hood doesn't think so. Because Rodney Hood was supposed to go into the game, the fourth quarter of game four. It was a blowout. And you know what he said to Ty Lue? He said, thanks, I'm good.
I'm cool.
I want to know your opinion on this.
So the vets actually tried to pull him aside, tried to get him to go in the game. He still refused. Now, Rodney Hood came out after, said he apologized, said he feels awful. But in the moment, how can you do that?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
What would you do as a vet on that team with him? Like, would you? I mean, I'm assuming you would have been one of the guys trying to talk him into the game.
Yes.
But then, what do you do after? Like, do you yell at him? Do you ask him what he's thinking? Do you tell him that's an immature mistake?
Yeah, I think you probably have a convo with him and just, you know, you just be real with him. Like, but you don't do that. Like, that's not, you know, there's I've been in situations where, like, as you get older, and coaches, you know, you have a resume. And it's really late, and you could call them garbage minutes, although I hate to use the term. A coach may ask you, hey, man, you want to play? Or, you know, and you've earned the right to be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm stiff. Or, you know, you're at 34, 35. Like, it's not ideal to get up after sitting and watching for 2 hours and go run around. You tear a damn anything. But as a young player, you get your butt up and you go into game. Whenever it's called upon, whenever you're asked, for whatever reason, you get up as quick as you can. You rip those things off, and you're at least this is the way I was because – I mean, what was Rodney Hood draft pick wise?
15, maybe.
I mean, I guess there could be an air of entitlement there, but like, I was grateful. Like, let me go in the game for any second of any minute. It's an opportunity. And honestly,
23rd overall.
Like, Rodney Hood he wasn't playing great. He got pulled out of the rotation. I'm looking at those minutes like it's an opportunity for me to go in there and show you that, like, my head's right now.
Right.
So maybe my shooting touch is back.
Right.
Like, maybe if I miss those rotations through the early first few games of the playoffs, I'm doing it now. Like, not a time to sit there and sulk.
And isn't he a free agent?
Yeah.
I thought it was a really bad look.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look. And as a vet, all you can do is try to talk to him.
Yeah. And how do you rely on him moving forward?
Yeah, that's a mess.
You know, like, I think it's going to really hurt his reputation in that locker room, which is the worst place to lose it.
Right.
So LeBron was incredible throughout the playoffs. I mean, he hit the game winners twice in this series. He was great in the Indiana series, you know, carried his team to victory there. Michael Jordan or LeBron James? It is becoming more real. I have always been a Michael Jordan advocate. Like, I had his poster in my room. Like, I grew up, and we don't have to have the actual debate of who's better, who's the GOAT of all time. But what more does LeBron James have to do to actually enter that conversation?
I think for me, he's in the conversation. Yeah. I'm a Michael fan. Like, and I will. Look, Michael's 6-for-6 in finals, right?
Yep.
LeBron is, what's his record in the finals?
3-6.
3-6. So he's been to 6 finals. So you're not, I mean, that's always going to be a knock. Like, because MJ was
perfect. Why doesn't MJ get knocked for the times he got bounced before
he
made the finals?
3-5, I'm sorry. That's what my argument is.
Right. Like, why doesn't he get knocked for that?
It's a good question. And, you know, LeBron has moved around a lot, but so have a lot of other people. So he's facing teams like MJ basically was facing, you know, those teams didn't have the freedom to bounce around and team up. So I don't want to say he was playing watered down teams, but those teams, you know, he was facing like Larry and Kevin McHale. And it wasn't the same type of heat that LeBron faces year in and year out when he's facing the big three, like at Golden State. I don't know, dude. I don't know. If the conversation is there for me right now, I'm still an MJ guy. I think that LeBron has to continue. If he's going to – all right, so look. If he's going to bounce around, which he has already, he's got to keep going. He's got to keep making it to the finals.
Right.
Like, it's got to become like, look, wherever he went, whatever he touched, he took to the finals. Because you're not – the six – you can't argue with 6-0, and people are always going to say that. And despite the fact that they give him a pass on the ones that he didn't get to, they're always going to tell you that he's 6-for-6, right? He's 6-0 in the finals. LeBron cannot do that at this point, but he can take a lot of different situations to the playoffs. And MJ couldn't say that because when he went to Washington, like the train came off track a little bit. He was in his 15th year. Do you have his 15th year stats?
Versus LeBron's. Here's the thing that I think that Jordan doesn't get credit for. He had to play 3 years in North Carolina, where if he could have come out and maybe had those years in the NBA, he would have been adding to his totals. He had the years off with baseball. If he would have kept playing through those, he probably would have added another title or two.
Right.
Like, I think he doesn't...
Shouldn't that detract from him, though?
No.
Why?
Why can't there be two grades?
Well, see, that's the best point that's
like,
made.
It's just
because
like,
I'm with Hannah. Like, I don't like having the debate because I think it's unwinnable conversation.
Two grades of two different times.
Eras, yeah. Eras. Two different... Like, Michael Jordan was transcendent player
It's like
of
Madonna
his
and Beyonce.
I agree.
No, for real, though. I'm serious.
My buddy Jason Goodrich, who trains me, and he was having an argument with me the other day, and he wanted to, you know, he was all fired up about this because he's an MJ guy and a Heat fan, so not a LeBron guy. And my point is, I don't like comparing, not just like cross generations because it's hard to do, but I don't like comparing players that are different styles. If you want to compare MJ and Kobe, let's do it.
Right.
Wired the same
way.
That's
what I was going to say. Doesn't Kobe kind of get screwed in this whole conversation because he's never mentioned and yet he has five titles?
Yeah, no.
I feel like he's kind of lucky, though.
And kind of cut from the same player mold as MJ. Like,
right.
LeBron is a different animal. He plays the game different. Like,
he's more like Magic.
Yeah, it's an unfair comparison to sit there and try to... It's pointless at times, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it'll be fascinating. I mean, it's going to be a conversation, an argument that goes on for decades. And I think LeBron's biggest thing that he has in his favor is his resume is not done yet. He hasn't settled, and so we don't know what he's going to end up finishing with because he's probably going to end up, you know, all-time leader, points, assists, you know, rebound. Like, he's going to have a ton of
I mean, he's
of
fantastic,
records.
But some of those will be attributed to, like,
what, longevity.
Yeah, right?
Like, yeah,
you,
for sure.
And you, to
but,
your
I mean, that's
point,
how
Mike
Kareem
didn't
did
play.
It forever.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
All right, let's get to what's
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
Word.
All right, guys, we have a ton of really important topics, so I'm going to make sure I really spend some time on these so you guys can really digest them.
Nice.
So a no-no north of the border as Mariners pitcher James Paxton becomes the first Canadian to toss a no-hitter in his home country as Seattle blanked Toronto 5-0. What makes it even better is that Paxton has a maple leaf tattoo on his non-throwing shoulder.
Pretty cool. First Canadian, right?
Second Canadian, first to do it in his home
in
country.
Ah, Canada.
So that's what it was.
All right, north.
Cool. Good for him, man. I was bummed because there was another game. He had 16 strikeouts, and he got pulled from the game because he had 105 pitches. And he
was that the one
going.
Earlier this season? Or was
yes, it was earlier. That drives me nuts when guys get pulled, and they're on like this record-setting pace, and they get pulled because of a pitch count.
Was Drake at that game? No? He wanted to make it?
No.
No, my bad.
He's saving his strength. All right, Matt Harvey, who hasn't been too great, with a chance to save his career on a bad team. The Reds have acquired, now loosely nicknamed, Dark Knight in a deal with the Mets. Harvey 0-2 with a 7 ERA in 2018. The Reds, an NL worst, 9-27.
This is the classic, like,
I
kind of
feel
you.
Bad for him.
You feel bad for him, so... I would feel bad for him if he wasn't such a douchebag.
Yeah,
like,
he's
seriously. No, he
was at that party in LA, right?
Yeah, so he's done like multiple times. He's been well known, like his nightlife has been well documented, so much so that he's missed coming to games the next day because he was hungover.
Yeah.
He's a little abrasive with people. I don't think he's the best
teammate. He needs to like get in better shape.
Yeah, well, exactly, because I don't think he's all in to baseball, which I'm okay with. But you've got to know when you can go out and when you can't. Like there's plenty of time. There's plenty of, especially as a pitcher, there's opportunities to go out and have fun.
So
he doesn't have his stuff since his Tommy John surgery. And now the Mets, so he basically went from one of the best markets and a team that's pretty good in the Mets
to
the worst team and, you know,
and
the nightlife. Exactly.
Yeah, not, not as a town. I mean, like the team
also,
is bad.
Yeah, but the nightlife.
But that won't stop him, whatever. I mean, he used to be known as like one of the hot bachelors of New York, you know?
Yeah.
And now he just recently
when
went
he
off
was
the map.
That hot bachelor in New York, there was a GQ piece, and he sounded like such a tool.
Really?
Oh my gosh. He was talking about how he only shops for John Varvatos, and he's like, I'm a Varvatos guy. Like it was, you have to go look at the GQ profile for
I'm taking it, you're not a Varvatos guy.
No, I like Varvatos. It was the way he said it.
I got it.
It was just like...
I got it. I'm messing with you.
All right. Well, elsewhere in New York, Yankees, Red Sox, the best two teams in baseball, now tied for the best record in baseball as New York upends Boston 3-2 in game one of a three-game set on Tuesday night. Giancarlo Stanton went deep twice while Luis Severino struck out 11 on the mound. David Price scratched from his scheduled start for the Sox tonight. You guys, this game was so good. G homered in his first two plate appearances.
She brought out
what happened to those? No, Big G is what
Big
they used
G.
to
my
call
bad,
him
my
in
bad,
Miami.
My bad.
I know. I once said that.
His
and they were
first
like,
home run, because I fell asleep. His first home run.
Was that the one to left?
Yes. Oh. It was like a tomahawk chop. Like the pitch was out.
Was a tomahawk chop.
No, it really was. Like it was like he was swinging an axe. Like he just chopped it. It was like, insane. And it didn't get very high.
It barely cleared the wall. He like screamed.
It was a missile.
That's a dangerous, bro. If you're not paying attention and that ball creeps
up
on your...
Sitting in
how strong? I'm sorry. Go. Sorry. Go.
No. Sitting in the camera well, like covering a team where you know he's like he's up
scary.
At the plate.
On a swivel.
No, I literally will duck. It's so scary.
Yeah.
But that's why he's injured so much, because he hits so intensely.
Look, real talk. How strong and like what type of reflexes and hand-eye coordination do you have to be to hit a damn fastball? Did you see how quick he reacts to that thing?
Oh, the turn on it. It was insane.
The second one, he was out in front of that damn ball.
Yeah.
Like that's incredible to me.
It's like otherworldly.
Yeah. I think we should try it.
Let's go. Let's go take it.
That'd be so embarrassing.
It would be embarrassing for you.
It'd be so embarrassing.
It'd be embarrassing for me. I would have to be having alcohol for this. Okay. A forgettable night for Orioles Dylan Bundy. He surrendered 4 home runs without getting an out. Actually, he never recorded an out, allowing 7 earned runs in the first inning as league worst Baltimore fell to Kansas City 15-7.
Well, that was awful. Man. This was trending. What was the final score? Because it was 10-0. After one, 15-7,
yeah.
It's like a football score.
It was bad. All right, guys, over in the NFL, New Orleans Saints running back Mark Ingram has been suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. He'll miss games against the Bucs, the Browns, the Falcons, and the Giants. Oh, and he also wants a new contract.
Oh, that's going to be a little bit tricky for him to get that done. Our producer for CBS Sports HQ, we're going to talk about this today on the show. Go check it out, cbssportshq.com. He was like, hey, how does this happen? How does a guy, they know the rules. Dude, guys are trying to toe that line all the time. Some guys get caught, some guys don't.
It's
part the reward if you don't get caught, or even if you do, like he probably still will get an extension.
Yeah.
It's kind of worth it.
All right, and lastly, the Pop Tree continues to branch out. The Charlotte Hornets have hired former Spurs assistant and Greg Popovich disciple James Borrego as their next head coach. Borrego has been an assistant since 2003 and briefly served as interim head coach of the Magic in 2014-2015.
I think it's great. You know, Pop and what they do there in San Antonio is proven. He looks at the game from a very progressive, like, angle. Like, he's not just mired in what was done way back in the day. So you know you're learning from a guy who is keeping up with everything that's practical now and everything that needs to be done now. And so I think when you're MJ, and I don't know if it's Rich Cho still there running the show, like going out and getting a Pop disciple to come in there, I think it's a good move. I mean
Cup checks in there now.
There. All right. I think it's awesome. I think you got some young talent, you bring in a guy like that, clearly he's been raised the right way.
I really like James Borrego, too. I interviewed him a couple times when I was with the Magic.
Yeah.
He just seems like he knows what he's doing. Yeah. I don't really know anything. But...
Nice. Solid hire. I like it. All right. Let's move on and do some.
Take it or leave it.
I love this segment. All right. The Raptors should run it back and keep their core and coach intact.
Uh-oh.
Take it or leave it.
I don't know.
I'm leaving that all day.
I
think you got – I think Dwayne Casey's got to go.
Yeah,
he's been there long enough. He's been there since 2011.
And he's been on the hot seat before.
You talked all season long about beating LeBron. You were building up for this thing. And they had a fantastic regular season. First seed, 59 wins. And that was your plan? Like, that was the plan to get it done? And your team quit on you. You benched DeMar DeRozan. That relationship's going to be fractured, to say the least. I think there's got to be something where you need a fresh message. And I think there's too much invested in Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Lowry, they're owed $64 million over the next 2 years. DeRozan's owed $54 million over the next 2 years with a third year 27. Like, I think there's too much invested in the players where somebody's the easy change to make is the coach.
So I'm on the fence, but you've swayed me. So I'll say take it, because I agree with a lot you said. The only problem is, like, who's taking – like DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry for that kind of bread.
Right.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. I think you have that option.
Yeah. I'll take it, though. I mean.
So you're leaving it, though, right?
Leave it.
We're leaving it. Because the option
no,
was.
Wait, take. You said
keep
take
the core intact.
Oh, keep it in core. I'm sorry. Then yeah. I'm leaving it. Yeah, yes, you got it. I'm with you.
Leave
sorry
it.
About that.
Yeah, you want to leave it.
Did you guys see the Chuck Shaq debate last night?
No.
Fantastic.
They go at
it was gold.
They went at it. It seemed like they actually got mad at each other. But the essence of it was, does your coach and star player have to get along? And Shaq said, no, Chuck argued with that.
It helps. I don't think you have to, but I think it helps.
I think it's all about respect.
Yeah.
I think you have to respect your head coach. Sure. It doesn't matter if you get along, if you're best friends, but there has to be a respect level there. All right, next up.
Take it or leave it.
The Jazz have a brighter future than the Pelicans.
Leave it.
Take it or leave it.
Leave it.
I'm going to leave it.
Leave it, huh?
Yeah, they've got a bright future. Donovan Mitchell is fantastic. You know, you start to see some stuff out of guys like Royce O'Neal and what's the big fella? Rudy Gobert is a great player. They've got some nice pieces, but the Pelicans, like Anthony Davis is Anthony damn Davis.
Yeah.
And I know they got to make a decision on Boogie and Rondo but you still have Drew Holiday locked up for a minute. Miritich is coming up, but Anthony Davis swings the balance for me. Like Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
What do you do with Boogie?
Oh, I re-signed Boogie. Boogie is a fantastic player and, you know, I would try to lock that up. I mean, what'd you trade to get him? I don't remember what you had to
Buddy
give up.
Buddy Hield and a pick. It wasn't much.
So you didn't really lose much if you don't retain him. It's not like, but I would still try to sign him, try to lock him up and see what that looks like with the two-headed.
No other elite free agents are going to choose New Orleans.
Yeah.
Wait, right. I have a separate question. Yes. We talked about Donovan Mitchell. Did you see that LeBron James compared this rookie class to the class of 2003?
Did he really?
Meaning like Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons. That's... But the class of 2003 was like him, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. Yeah, yeah, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Darko Milicic.
Is it? Like, do you agree with that comparison? Together.
I like that comparison. I mean, I don't know that any of them wind up being damn LeBron and D. Wade. But in terms of... Like they're pretty damn good. It's been a heck of a rookie class.
All right, next up.
Take it or leave it.
Stan Van Gundy's tenure in Detroit will be one of the last dual head coach / front office leader roles in the NBA. I'm gonna leave it.
Yeah. Leave it.
It should be. I mean, it should be like because I just it's too hard to do one of those jobs. So,
but knowing egos of coaches, there's going to be some coach who thinks he can do it.
Correct.
And there'll be a team that'll pay him.
That wants him bad enough, and they'll continue to give people that kind of control at times. But I think, dude, I mean, can you point to who is there one out there that's
the
a success story?
True one right now is Tom Thibodeau, and that's not a success yet.
Right.
Budenholzer had that revoked. Doc Rivers revoked. Popovich is splits duties
with R.C. Buford. But R.C.
That's
does,
probably the only way you could do it is to have a guy that's kind of your right-hand man that you're on the exact same page with, and he's basically an extension.
But
correct.
SVG went real bad, real quick.
Real quick. Yeah. Real quick.
Don't you think it was probably over the fact that he wouldn't relinquish it?
Yeah, I think. But again, remember we talked about it, and I said if you promised him that, and now you try to take it away from him, like you got a problem on your hands.
Right.
You
can't. How about Blake Griffin? How bad does he get screwed in this whole big picture?
Blake, that's...
Yeah, it's rough.
It's tough.
Take it or leave it.
All right, the Bucks should hire Becky Hammon.
Take it.
Take it.
I like
take
Becky. It.
Do you know her?
I do know Becky. Yeah, I mean we're not going out to have dinner and stuff, but you know her. Yeah, I know Becky, and she's really good. Like I got to see her at the NBA Summer League my year in Cleveland, and so you got all the teams out there, all of their
is that
coaching.
The year she won it. They won the Summer League.
It
title?
Might be the year that they won it, and so I watched her coach. I got to see her around when we're around with front offices and coaching staffs. I got to talk to her a little bit, and she's good.
Yeah,
she knows her stuff. She's got a presence that I think you have to have, whether you're male or female. You have to have a presence when you're dealing with NBA, NFL, MLB guys. You know, guys that are at the apex at their given profession. Like you have to have a presence, and she's got that. She was a heck of a player, and again, she's been raised in the pop school. I don't think you go wrong with people. Like their track record when they go other places is good. I think it's a good thing. And I think it's great for the NBA. I think it's fantastic for the NBA.
Do you think she would have challenges in the locker room?
Yeah.
From who?
Because I
had a thought. I was like, man, this really... Because I was talking about this on my radio show the other day, and I said, you know what? I think it's going to be hard for younger guys who maybe aren't mature enough to handle a female coach. My co-host actually pointed out. He was like, no. He's like, I think younger players
would be better.
Might actually be more receptive. It's the veterans.
Yes.
Yeah. The guys with, like I could picture Rondo.
Yeah.
Like, I could picture him batting, you know, butting heads with Becky Hammon if he was
but
on
I
that
But I feel
squad.
Like it would blow over. Like, I think it would get to... Like, the first couple months, I think, would be... awkward, right?
But then I think players would know, because I think again it comes down to respect.
Yeah,
they're gonna figure her out, and they either respect her or they don't, and that's for male or female. And I think you find it out in the first couple months.
Yeah.
If she knows what she's doing,
yeah.
If she's out there and she commands respect, she'll get it. But I think she will have some talents. I think there'll be a player or two in that locker room who will look at her and say, because she's a woman, you know, they'll look at her, they'll take longer to gain that respect, but I think ultimately she would gain it.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the younger players are going to be better with it.
Yeah.
I think the older guard guys stuck in their ways a little bit, but I don't think there's any question in my mind that given the opportunity, guys are going to realize that she knows her stuff and they're going to respect
it. And that's all that matters. Yeah. Next up.
Take it or leave it.
The Island Green, the 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass, is overrated.
Leave that.
Take it or leave it.
Leave it all the time.
That is like must-see TV.
Have you played TPC Sawgrass?
No, I want to so bad.
I haven't played it since they redid it.
Yeah.
But I played the 17th hole.
It's a Pete Dye, right?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure who did it, but it's a ton of fun to play. The 17th hole is iconic to me. It's one of the most recognizable holes in all of golf. So I'm leaving that all day. It's not the hardest hole. Like, it's not that long.
The hardest, right.
Like, even they play it, it's like 147, 150.
Yeah, it's
150.
Like a wedge.
Yeah, but it gets in your head. And that's why I love watching these guys try to do it, because you're like, so there fantastic. Are basket cases out there trying to do it. But it is the fifth major. It's a great event.
It's the biggest purse, right?
Yeah, I think it is the biggest purse. So it's got a great field. Tiger and
Any
Phil
shot?
Are together. Tiger
are they paired?
Yeah.
It's
142. And Ricky Fowler's
and Ricky
in the group
Ray.
Too. That's going to be an awesome.
That should be fun.
Threesome.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson, he had a great idea. So he suggested, because they were asking about him being paired with Tiger. They haven't played in the same group at the Players since 2001, I think it was.
Yeah.
He had a comment. He said, you know what we should do? He said, we should have a major one-on-one Tiger versus Phil, just us, winner takes all. Put out the pot, like, and just have us go at it.
Oh, that's fantastic!
And he's like, have the winner.
He threw down a damn.
Yes,
he threw down the challenge.
Said, he Did actually
he
say
it
said,
in jest, or was it one of those where I'm gonna throw it out
but
there?
But you know, Phil is like, Phil is cocky.
Yeah,
and he had a little smirk on his face, like he was being a little bit sarcastic. And then he said, "I don't know if Tiger wants a piece of me right now." Like, he was out there talking. But see, I think that's a genius comment because somebody, and if they're not, they should be fired. Somebody at CBS, somebody at any of these networks
be all over
should jump on that and say, all right. And they used to do the Monday night.
Do you think
thing.
Tiger would do it?
I don't know.
I don't
see, that's
so.
The thing. It depends on where he is.
Like,
mentally.
Phil's got way more to win in that scenario than
totally,
Tiger.
Totally,
right?
Yeah, because
like,
he's definitely behind him in the conversation.
It'd be
of
good
all-time
for
greats.
Tiger.
You think it'd be good for
it
Tiger?
It would be good, but I don't think he'd do it.
It'd be great. It'd be good for Tiger. I think, though, and they, you know what they should do is like do the how the boxing does the 24 hours where they do like behind the scenes leading up to the
absolutely.
Event. They
so
can show
good.
Them practicing, getting ready.
Do you think Tiger could be Phil right now?
I think in a golf and a match play,
never,
like anything
true.
Could
you
happen.
Never know.
But
right.
I would like Phil's playing better.
He's playing better.
Like Tiger's been a little bit erratic. He didn't exactly build a lot of confidence playing in Charlotte
it'd be
past
great.
Week. But it would be awesome. Yeah. So yeah, that's gonna be a fun tournament. Rory. McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas paired together. That's the type of event it is. It's like got a lot of star power, so I'm excited to watch that. All right, let's keep it moving. The little move the needle. So does this move the needle for you? The Knights, your Golden Knights, reaching the Western Conference Finals in their expansion season. Does it move the needle? I know it does.
Yes,
yeah, of
that
course
moves
it
needle.
Moves the needle.
Nice.
Right? Talk about it, Hannah.
One.
It's a cool story. So they, I didn't realize
No, seriously, I'm with you.
I didn't realize
needle.
This. Yeah. They were 500-1 odds.
That's why it moves
Stanley
the needle.
Cup. That is insane.
Because I put 100 on that to start the season.
Oh, my
fantastic
God.
I lost the ticket.
That would be fantastic if you did. You know somebody in Vegas.
Absolutely.
It's the gambling capital of the world. Somebody took that.
So fantastic.
Like, that is awesome.
Like
the casinos are nervous.
I bet they are because they look pretty good. See, they actually got hooked up. They're not – the way hockey, the NHL did it, they hooked up their expansion team because they had a different type of draft where you actually – they made – every team had to make players available to them that they could poach from other teams.
Okay.
So they got to play. They got to pull pretty good players.
Yeah, and you got to protect like a certain amount of players and some of your better players had to be unprotected.
So
right.
The guys that were unprotected come in. They're pretty decent. They played in the NHL. They come in with a chip on their shoulder, like ticked off that they were unprotected.
Yeah, it's so great.
And they've thrived off of it. Like they're a fun squad and they have the Vegas flu. Which is in their favor because everybody's getting that after when they have to face them.
Right.
All right, so that moves the needle for both of us. All right, how about this one? The Predators' PK Subban guaranteed a Game 6 victory over the Jets, and Nashville does it.
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah, it does because I told you I love PK Subban.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, he flashy suit. I like PK Subban.
I think guarantees are stupid, though.
They are dumb.
They are dumb, but it's pretty cool that he actually got to back it up.
So they'll face the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Game 7.
Game seven. No, they will play the Knights.
They'll play.
They're
the
in the Western Conference.
Knights. My bad.
Oh, that's gonna be tough. You're gonna root.
Yeah,
for
I don't know.
That's,
I'm conflicted
Knights.
Now. True conflict.
That's right. Well, they got to get through it first. All right. This next story I caught yesterday. I thought it was pretty funny. Does it move the needle? Kurt Warner. He's making a comeback. No, he talked about making. He's had reported interest in a comeback at age 47. He's already in the Hall of Fame.
Stop.
Already in the Hall of Fame. He was on a baseball broadcast. He came up in the booth, and he said, I was actually ready to go for this coming season. I actually talked to a coach, and my wife said, go for it. I think it would be great. So I actually talked to a coach about possibly doing it if they needed somebody. But when they found out, they went out and signed somebody. So I don't think they thought I was serious. So I think we're completely done now. Does it move the needle?
And no, it doesn't.
I'm ready to go work out,
like,
baby.
Seriously.
Let's get it back.
How old are you, Danny?
42. I'm ready to
47?
Go.
47?
I'm ready to go.
Like, in what capacity would he be talking? Like, as a backup? Like,
no,
good,
I think
good
he
guy
wants to
the...
play.
Really?
I think he wants to do it. I think he wants to get out there and play. So he actually...
I'm so about this. So
I am, too. Like, I think it'd be fast. I would love to see it happen. I guarantee you
You
want
happens. To see someone die?
No, he wouldn't die. See, here's the thing. Nobody
what?
Hits quarterbacks like, anymore.
Nobody's dying.
Nobody hits quarterbacks anymore. That I guarantee you Look, that's what's going through Kurt Warner. He's watching Brady at 40, and he's like, I'm not that much older. I could probably still sling it around.
Not that much older. You're a decade older than him, bro.
No, he's
His
not.
Knee's going to explode.
Older. As he's 6-7 years older. It's not
more,
that
it's
big a difference.
He's closer to a decade than he, like.
The NFL is changing.
You're
you don't. You can't
it.
Touch.
You're
you can't
doing
touch quarterbacks.
School, sorry.
You can't touch quarterbacks. You can't touch him in the head.
Yeah.
You get him in the legs. You don't get hit very much.
Danny.
I wish he would do it.
Roger, would you ever go
You know what
back?
I would wear
Maybe
every
I play,
pregame?
I am 41, and there is not a chance.
Basketball's different.
It is. Granted, it's different. But, like, I hear you. I don't know. It doesn't
if you
move
were a quarterback.
If I was
right.
Look,
absolutely.
If they're
going
to keep paying you to do something you love to do, like, keep doing it.
Whatever, you know what I would wear every time to the stadium, too? My Hall of Fame jacket. Like, that would be the free. Like, you know, they all get styled out in their suits.
Because you have nothing to lose,
exactly.
I mean, other than your
He's
health.
He's already in.
That'd be
and
fantastic.
Like,
but see, here's what ticks
entire,
me off. Is that
your,
I'm
yeah.
almost certain that Kurt Warner said he wouldn't let his kids play football. So
oh, you're,
if
you're
he said
right.
that, why would you come back and play yourself if you're worried about your children?
Yeah, interesting.
Like, that to me
Maybe
is
he just wants to come out for one game.
Yeah.
Have great. That, like, one major victory. Okay, I'll shut up.
Excuse me. All right, next up. The Yankees and Red Sox, we just saw an incredible first game of the series. They actually scheduled a 2-game series in June of 2019, and guess where they're playing? In London. Move the needle?
No.
I think this is stupid. Why did sports feel like, and I get it makes sense if you go to Mexico City, if you go to Dominican,
yeah.
Puerto Rico, even Japan, where baseball is popular.
Well, they have a lot of players
in there
too as well.
Exactly.
But
so people will come watch. Why are we trying to force baseball into London?
There's got to be something to it.
Money, but I don't understand. I think it's a waste.
You think there's no chance anybody in Europe ever takes on baseball?
Do that again.
That's, I mean, that's kind of what I don't think so, but
right.
do you think?
I think there's
good.
Probably some
yeah,
fans that will watch
but,
it.
No.
We're having two conversations right now. I love
it's
it.
My favorite part of the pod. Sorry.
All right.
Hannah was. Like,
I was
money,
singing.
Money, money,
I was
money.
Singing the Apprentice theme song.
Nice.
R.I.P. to that show.
All right.
No, I don't think this is an important topic at all. But, like, it's cool that they all get to travel to London. I'm jealous.
Right.
I want to go to London.
I
want
to go to London.
But here's the problem. Like,
you ever been to London?
These teams are in this heated race this year. It'll probably be the same next year. For the AL East, like, it could impact the
yeah,
race.
You're wasting,
they come
you're wasting
back,
games.
You're hungover.
Yeah.
Like, you're
I
be
wonder
tired.
If yeah, I feel like the players truly wouldn't like it that much because it's just like
and it's so
an
fast.
Annoyance.
Like, I
right.
had to go to Tokyo.
There are too many games.
I went to Tokyo for a preseason game when I was on the Falcons, and we were there about 4 days. Mm-hmm. And you like it was cool to see Tokyo, but it took like a week to recover because
right.
you get
yeah.
there. By the time you get used to the time, you're turning around, coming back
Because in the
home.
NFL, you have way more time to get accustomed to it,
right.
at least.
This,
but
though, it would only be an extra hour opposed if they played the Mariners flight-wise, if they played
right.
the Mariners, Angels, whatever, to fly to London, only about a 5-6-hour
flight.
Still
that whole flight
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
And then, like,
it's worth it.
Just, like, the air and dump that baseball players have to deal with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
All right. We promised stories with Raja.
All right.
So Monday was the 16th anniversary of Allen Iverson's famous practice rant.
Do we have the rant?
When you just talk about practice, we sitting here, I supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. Well, Coach, I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
All right, so that was epic. Everybody remembers that one.
Yeah.
What was, do you remember, like, was that one of those where you were moments?
It's the where you were moment. And I was at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. They called it PCOM. It was right off of City Ave. It's where the practice facility was. And I was downstairs in the weight room that we shared with, like, the PCOM, like, students. And no one knew where Chuck was, but we were down there lifting. And the screen came on, kind of like the screen right here in our room. And I happened to be, like, in between sets. I was doing something for, like, my patellar tendonitis. And I looked up, and I was like, oh, my God. He's doing it. He's going. And it just took on a life of its own. So I remember, like, myself, I don't want to call anybody's name in terms, because I'm a player, I don't want to be wrong, but there were people around this TV with me just watching him go completely ham. And I didn't know where he was, but he was like a floor and a half above me,
right,
like in this press conference, just going absolutely ridiculous. And then we went out and got throttled by the Celtics. What was that, a couple nights later?
The next night.
So that would have been before we got on the flight. No, that was a home game when we got yes, beat up by the Celtics. Right. So, yeah, it was home the next
day. So were guys' reaction, was it like, yeah, preach, tell them we don't need to practice? Or was it like, I can't believe he's saying that?
I don't remember what everyone else's reaction was, but mine was not preach.
Right.
Like, because I don't think most guys really subscribe to that, like, mentality. Although we kind of probably feel like that at times. Like, it's not something that you really talk about, because we all practiced, right, and you know, there were just times where he didn't. So most guys were kind of like,
I still think he's unfairly judged on that, because the essence of it, which no one is going to remember, is because didn't his, like, one of his childhood friends, best friends, pass away that week? And he was saying, I'm not concerned about practice when I have this real life stuff going on in my life.
I don't remember that, but it could, if look,
but no one remembers that.
He was unfairly judged for a lot of things. Because the reality of it is, you are talking about practice. Like, not everyone is built the same way. And he clearly didn't need the same amount of practice as I did. Like, do you know, he could come in there on days and not do much and drop 40 that night without looking at a game plan and just be fantastic in almost every aspect of the game. So, there's a lot of fairness to what he was talking about. But at that time in my career, like, I was just like, oh, my God, are you allowed to do that? Can you do that? Like, is he, you know, and it was, but anyway.
Yeah, it was nuts for sure. All right, let's keep, how about another story time? So this was viral the other day because it was the anniversary of it. I had never really watched it closely, but Mo Cheeks. So Lady Antebellum butchered the national anthem at the Predators game.
Yeah.
And there was also, this was recently, because this, I think it was an anniversary like a week or two ago, when Mo Cheeks stepped in to help a young girl. She forgot the words, so he had to put his arm around her shoulder, and like, she was bawling.
Oh, I loved that
and
video.
And he's like helping her sing along to the words.
She
you
was
were there.
So bad.
You were standing on the court.
I was in Portland. I was with the Mavericks. It was 2003.
Dude, that girl sucked.
All right.
She was a baby.
She was a baby. She was a cute girl.
Mean to do it.
You know, it started off
really struggling.
It started off fine, and then it went off the rails, and she was so rattled. I remember, I felt helpless.
She was nervous.
Wonder what she's doing now.
I thought about that the other day.
Seriously, I wonder if that's like a life altering event. I hope she's okay.
I feel like that wasn't like viral though.
Mo was a good dude.
Because we didn't have Twitter around at the time. Right. It would have exploded.
You know what? Never mind.
Mo was a really good dude, man.
Did you go up to the girl? Like, were you that close where you said, hey, don't worry about
no,
it?
No, I was midway through the line, I think.
Right.
And Mo happened to be, like, the coaches are usually a little closer to the person performing. And so, you know, it was tough. That was a tough day, bro. The whole place. And I think everybody started singing. Like, we all sang it
with her
as Mo, like, helped prompt her through the rest of the song. We all started singing. The whole arena was singing.
That's all you want to see happen when you're watching that, like, from home. You're like,
so
oh, someone please help them out. Like, everyone knows the song.
We all felt awful.
But good thing Twitter didn't exist.
This girl's named Natalie Gilbert, and she did one of those, like, Tosh.0 web redemptions make fun a couple years ago.
I'm going to rally for this girl. Wait, do you guys ever remember? Never mind.
That was an underappreciated Blazers team.
Yeah.
That Blazers team was good.
Yeah.
Jailblazers?
The Jailblazers.
So, Lady Antebellum, who screwed up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I texted Debo video of this because I was at Jim Furyk's golf tournament.
I didn't see it.
And so my wife and I rode the bus to this charity concert that was going to be that night.
Right.
And there was this dude on the bus, and he was hammered. Like, he kept taking shots on the bus. And he's like, I got to perform tonight. I don't know if I'm going to remember the words. And he was just talking yapping the whole way there.
Yeah.
So we get there. I'm like, who the heck is this dude? Because we're not huge country fans.
Right.
We find out it's this guy, Charles Kelly from Lady Antebellum.
Mm.
We were like, I don't know how it was that bad. He was stumbling. I'm like, I don't know how he's going to get up there and perform.
Yeah.
Went up on stage and actually like went up and gave a pretty good performance.
That's the rock star mentality.
He's the same dude who forgot the lyrics. I wonder if he was partying at the little pregame party before the national anthem, and that's why I forgot it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Lady Antebellum is the worst.
Actually, they got a pass though. Everyone, like, no one gave them a hard time, like, because they laughed it off.
No, because country music is so forgiving.
That is true. Like, it's a good crowd.
Yeah. No.
All right. What are we doing? Like, topics here, Devo. Let's finish.
Topics.
Danny Cannell, very much on board with UCF's national championship, sir. The rings, the banner, all that. Their former coach, Scott Frost, now at Nebraska, not necessarily on board. He said, all I'll say is if we had stayed there, meaning his staff, I would have had a hard time getting behind it. I think it was smart by them because it kept UCF in the media and in the conversation. But you know, like our rings, I kind of wish my ring just said undefeated season and Peach Bowl champion. Does this take the shine off for you?
I wonder if he would still say this if he was the head coach at UCF right now.
Yeah.
I get it. I get what he's doing. He's kind of taking the A. I think what he's saying is probably the best way to handle it from now as the head coach of Nebraska. Because I think as much as I've had fun with it too, I think you should probably just let it go to
bed. Yeah, it's like, had its moment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But UCF is feeling like, hey, it's still keeping us relevant.
For them, why not?
But those rings are something they will have forever. I would say this. If you're UCF, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you want us to stop, if you want us to not call it a national championship, then Auburn, you stop calling your two that you claim as national champions. Alabama, you stop claiming your four that you claim as national champions, and we're all good.
Right. I hear you.
People getting excited about Frost at Nebraska. People getting kind of excited about Mario Cristobal at Oregon. So the other day he drank raw eggs, Rocky style, with a quarterback commit to celebrate him committing to the Ducks.
So the kid and the coach drank raw eggs?
It was quick, yeah. Him and this commit, it was like a three-star.
I mean, you don't want to sip on it.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they took it like a shot. They plugged their nose and they took it.
Have you ever done the raw eggs thing?
I feel like that's reserved. No, me neither. You'd have to be a five-star recruit for me to drink
raw
eggs.
Yeah, exactly. That's doing the way it for you're three-star going.
I like Mario,
though.
I feel like it's fine.
Yeah, Mario's cool.
I feel like it's not a big deal. Drinking a raw egg is like...
You've done it?
No, but you can get salmonella.
Salmonella is a lie. I mean,
oh,
like...
Whoa! It's a made-up lie.
How many times...
The hottest take this show's ever had.
Listen, you know when you're younger and your mom's like, don't eat the cookie dough, you're going to get salmonella. That's a freaking lie because I've never gotten salmonella. Okay, I have gotten salmonella once.
Wait, are you serious?
But it wasn't from a raw egg. It was from something else. It was from a really bad coconut that I ate.
I think we're
going to
suspend you for the rest of this podcast.
No, but I'm just saying, it's like taking a bad shot. Right? It was just drinking an egg. I don't know.
Okay. Roquan Smith, Bears rookie, had his car broken into. So in there, he had stolen a national championship Georgia jersey and also a team-issued iPad with the Bears playbook. Which one should he be more worried about?
The playbook? For sure he's going to get fined pretty hefty for that.
Yeah.
It's probably $7,500, $10,000 he'll get fined for losing the playbook.
That sucks because you got it like... I'd like to say don't leave it in your car, everybody's left something in their car. They shouldn't. That sucks. Getting robbed is...
I remember having the playbook and being terrified. Like, every time it was out of my sight. Don't want to do that.
I told you guys the other day, there were some comparisons online made between Raja and TJ McConnell as unsung heroes in Philadelphia. Well, turns out McConnell, there's an interesting story. He went on the Dan Patrick Show and grew up in Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Met Ben Roethlisberger, said he had such a bad experience that he started rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Whoa!
Really?
An indicator of just Big Ben's. They met at like a charity event when TJ was in sixth grade. So this is early on in Ben's career. But it spurred him away from rooting for the Steelers. Now he's back a little bit.
Do we know what happened?
He rooted for the Bengals because Ben was so mean to him.
Oh my
really?
God. I need like a play-by-play of what went
down. I know,
down.
Right? We need to get... But he probably didn't go too
into detail.
He
didn't go super into detail.
I'll say this.
Yeah,
I would
Danny,
defend
you know?
Ben a little bit because I don't think anybody can truly experience like what it's like to be a franchise quarterback. The amount of, and I'm not saying I was in this boat, but how many people come up to you on a daily basis and you have interaction with. But like I always felt like, hey, this is really cool. It's special. I'm going to try to treat everybody with respect and give them at least a minute or two.
Yeah.
But was it at dinner? Like, was he eating? Was he doing something that wasn't the best moment and maybe just caught him at a bad time? I don't know.
Ben Roethlisberger's, Kobe Bryant's,
Michael Jordan's,
it's impossible. They deal
to
with
be nice
so,
to everybody.
Everyone. It's really, really tough. I bet Ben came to a practice. He was like an honorary son for a day because our trainer, Aaron Nelson, was like a huge Steelers fan. So he came to practice, like was in a jersey. I did some shooting drills with him. He was cool. He was super nice. Now, obviously, we weren't like 6-year-old fans.
Right.
But like that was my only experience with Ben.
Can he shoot?
I think he was okay. I don't think he's like a great player, but he's all right.
Yeah.
Probably a little shorter than I thought he was.
Treat the kids good, really, man.
Well, I think Aaron Nelson had always said like he was like my size, and he's smaller than me.
I think he's listed at like 6'5".
He's pretty big.
He's big, but I thought when I stood next to him, I didn't think he was eye to eye. So I think that he was a little smaller than I thought he was.
Gotcha. Final topic here. We're on episode 68 of the podcast. Whoa. I think it's been at least since episode 50 or before that we talked about LeVar Ball and Big Baller Brand. So Adam Jones, Orioles outfielder, finally got his Big Baller shoes.
He did.
A year later.
So he actually ordered them and paid for them.
Yes.
And he took a year to get them.
At least 365 days later, he got his shoes. Are we just happy that
is he satisfied with
BBB
them?
Has kind of settled down? He tweeted about it, said he was happy.
I am very happy that BBB has calmed down.
BBB better have their ass somewhere in a gym right now, stroking the ball.
Exactly.
That's what they need to do. They need to be in the gym working. Yes. Yeah.
LaMelo tries out for the draft next month.
Exactly. Oh, that's right.
Then it's
back.
And then LeVar's going to be out there.
Jello.
So number one.
LiAngelo.
Jello. Yeah. All right, that'll be fun to watch for sure. All right, we'll make sure we get some Triple B's. I don't know what the Big Baller Brand shoes on the show.
Triple B.
Send us a pair free. I don't think that's happening either, even if it takes a year. All right, that's a wrap for us. Thanks for listening. Hope you made it through the coughs and stuff. We are dealing with some sickness.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But we powered through for you guys. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Kanell and Bell. And as always, go download, subscribe on iTunes, leave us the 5-star review. Whatever you ask in that 5-star review, we have to answer on 5 Fridays on our 5-star Q&A. Have a good day.